Hello world. Hello information. Hello uploads and downloads. Hello streaming videos and low latency. Hello blogs and vlogs. Hello crystal clear video calls. Hello increased productivity. Hello online learning. Hello cloud. Hello long lost friends and missed connections. Hello limitless possibilities and instant gratification. Say hello to premium high speed fiber from Vox Telecom. Pleasure guaranteed. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Chicken or beef?
Beef, please.
Chicken or beef?
Chicken.
There's so many companies offering fiber at the moment, but with Vox Telecom's premium high-speed fiber, you'll be joining the Smile High Club.
Duck or salmon, sir?
We call it business class fiber. We guarantee our uptime and can tailor our services to suit your needs and budget. Say hello to business class fiber from Vox Telecom. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
I'm Reinhard van der Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 149 for the weekend starting 22 July 2016.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of intelligent technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, we chat about Telkom's almost too good to be real new mobile packages.
Also this week, what exactly is going on at Telkom? Plus, ICASA's planned spectrum auction, and of course, Pokemon Go.
Gotta catch them all. Let's get the show on the road.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Reinhard?
How's it, Duncan?
Lovely, lovely winter's afternoon here in Johannesburg, isn't it?
You better get ready for those hibernating fires and the Netflix binge-watching.
Going all pear-shaped on Sunday, I believe, with chance of snow and all sorts of nastiness.
Yeah, let's just wrap up warm. But
we've got lots of hot news this week to keep you warm, so let's get straight into it. Of course, we're going to do a quiz first before we get to the news. So, Reinhard, do you want to kick off with our first question this week?
Yes, if you've missed this, I don't know how you would have, but what is the soft data cap on Telkom's new unlimited 999 rand a month freemi mobile package?
Second question. Telkom's FreeMe has zero-rated calls and messages in which three smartphone apps?
The third question. Elon Musk's Tesla is planning to add a pickup truck, a freight truck, and what else to its electric vehicle lineup?
Fourth question. Absa now allows you to bank through which instant messaging application?
And the last question. Britain's ARM Holdings is being acquired by which company for $32 billion?
Cool. That's our quiz this week. We'll give you the answers at the end of the show. And you'll, of course, get some of the answers as we talk today.
Yes.
Especially as we talk about Telkom FreeMe. Launched last night, Thursday night, in Hyde Park in Johannesburg. And I think the most aggressive new tariff plans we've seen from a mobile operator in this country to date.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. It just shows you what can be done if there's, I think, some real will behind it. But amazing to see a company that we thought really wouldn't end up very far in the space now seemingly dominating the pricing angle.
Yeah. Well, perhaps forced into that angle by the fact that it is so far behind in the mobile game as the fourth entrant. But we'll chat a bit more about Telkom's positioning in the market just now. But these new freemium plans, very interesting move. It's the first time that I'm aware of that we've seen new contracts, and these, to emphasize, these aren't just contracts, they're for prepaid users as well. But the first time we've seen, perhaps I should call them packages, the first time we've seen mobile packages that are data, not voice-led. Come to these, you choose your data package, and then decide which else you want on top of that. A lot of it's free, of course, value add, including free phone calls. But it's data-led, and I can't think of another operator that's done that.
Yeah, certainly. And I guess you have to also ask the question, was this done as a kind of do or die last minute? Or, you know, we have to do something to really shake this market up.
Well, I'm sure they've launched this to claw market share, because they're sitting at about 2.5% of the market, which is not enough to really be sustainable in this space. And they need to get market share rather from the bigger operators. And what's clever about these plans, I think, is that they're going to target the high-end users in particular. And I think you're going to see quite a bit of churn on the contract side of things. Because historically, it's been very difficult. The prepaid market churns all the time, but the contract market is actually quite stable. If you look at the latest Vodacom numbers, I think their churn rate is sitting at about 5.5%, which is tiny. You know, it's very difficult for a challenger operator like Telkom or Cell C, for that matter, to get those high-end customers. We've seen Cell C trying to do it with that contract buyout offering in the last little while. But I think this is an even more aggressive move by Telkom here. But let's go through it a bit. I mean, there's six packages that have been launched, and they're all data-led. So you choose between the data size that you want. You can go for a 1 gig, a 2 gig, a 5 gig, a 10 gig, a 20 gig, and then an unlimited, which I'll put in inverted commas, because it's not genuinely unlimited. But it's not uncapped, I should say. So you get those data allocations, and they're pretty aggressively priced. It starts at 99 Rand for the 1 gig, and it goes all the way up to 999 for the unlimited. I think the package that's going to get the most attention, though, is the 20 gig option, which is 599. Now, those are good data prices on their own.
Yeah,
but they've tacked a whole lot of stuff onto this. So with that, you get free texts, 50 SMSs a day, which is more than 99.9% of the market needs. If not 100% of the market. I mean, most people use WhatsApp to communicate now, so you really, really don't need text. So it just takes away even thinking about sending a text message. You'll just send it because you know it's free. Now, what's really interesting, I think, and it's certainly the first time Telkom's done this, Cell C has experimented in this space before, the bigger operators have not done anything, but they're introducing free texting and free VoIP calls on WhatsApp, Viber, and BBM.
Sure.
So you can make voice over internet call on WhatsApp, which is the most popular, which is what most people will be using, or Viber's also a great platform. Completely free of charge. There's a 2 gigabyte fair use policy on that, on the voice call, VoIP calls.
That's a
lot of a voice call. I don't think you'll ever use that up in a month. It's in effect, it's unlimited. I think they're just
using it to prevent call centers from being set up.
Exactly. And then they're also offering free calls to other Telkom mobile users and to Telkom fixed lines.
Sure.
With a 3,000 minute a month fair use policy, which is again more than anyone will use.
So talk about making most of your existing user base. That is great.
Yeah. And then if you're on the 20 gig plan, which is $5.99, or the unlimited plan, which is $9.99, you get either 1,500 or 3,000 minutes per month of calls to other networks.
So that's essentially all in a. If we look at your kind of general usage and even your high-end usage, these packages include, on the higher-end scale, everything you need. I doubt people would have any pain on that.
Yeah. And the top end, if you look at the top end red VIP plans on Vodacom, you're paying at least double that.
Yeah.
Sometimes triple that if you want a decent data allocation. So this is remarkable stuff.
My first question would be we always heard about the reception signal issues and spectrum allocation. I mean, how would you rate this compared to everybody else today based on these packages?
Well, the big challenge that Telkom has is they don't have access to 900 megahertz. They don't have any bandwidth below a gigahertz. So what they've done here is they've reallocated their 1800 megahertz band, which is also known as the GSM extension band, where they have 12.5 megahertz. They've reallocated, which is they've been using purely for 2G voice until now. And they've got a couple of 100,000 users sitting on old feature phones who are still using that legacy service. But they've now reallocated or refarmed 5 megahertz of that, with another 5 megahertz to be refarmed in October, for a total of 10 megahertz. So two LTE channels, which will allow them to do LTE advanced as well in October once the second channel is activated. And they've left just 2.5 megahertz for legacy 2G voice calls, which they say is sufficient for that base that's left. They're also sitting with a chunk of spectrum at 2.1 gigahertz, which they use for 3G. And, of course, you can switch calls over 3G as well. And then they're also sitting with 60 megahertz, which is huge, of 2.3 gigahertz bandwidth. But that's not what they're going to be using for this particular offering. This is going to be limited in terms of 4G to 1.8 gigahertz, and in terms of 3G to 2.1 gigahertz. The 2.3 gigahertz they want to ring fence and use exclusively for fixed wireless, LTE, into homes and businesses. At the moment, if you've got a modern handset, I'm using the Sony Xperia Z5, for example. I think the latest Apple has it as well. Certainly the latest Samsungs will have it. They also support the FDD LTT band at 2.3 gigahertz. So you can actually use data at 2.3. But Telkom said they're actually looking to ring-fence that and build a technological solution which will prevent smartphones from its network from accessing the 2.3 gigahertz. Because they want to keep that specifically for fixed wireless applications, and they don't want mobile users eating into it, which could affect the quality of service that they offer on the 2.3, which I think is a very interesting development. Yeah. Now, obviously, the proof is in the pudding, and we need to test this to see just how good this network is. It's using 10 megahertz of LTE at 1.8. I don't know. I don't really have experience of using the Telkom voice network. I don't know what impact it's going to have reducing the 2G spectrum from 12.5 megahertz down to 2.5 megahertz. Mm. These things will test as the months go forward. But they say they've done all the tests. Their engineers have tested it, and it's working fine. So we'll see. But certainly very aggressive stuff, and they've decided that the future is data. I think the rest of the operators still see data as an add-on bundle that needs to be sold on top of your voice plan. Telkom has now put a peg in the ground and said, actually, no, the future is data, and we're going to sell data plans, and everything else on top of that is incidental.
Yeah, I like the approach, and then it also shows the kind of the new digital age or the digital mindset. You know, whenever I look at any package like this, I also go in with the data-first mindset. So it's nice to see that coming from one of the big operators.
Consumers have been doing it for a while. It's just the operators that haven't.
Yeah, that haven't been. Yeah. I also hope that this kind of creates a bit of a spark among the other guys, and then we'll see some reduction in prices, or at least some adaption in the packages.
Yeah, they're going to have to respond. I don't think they're going. They may have to do sort of ad hoc responses to this. Telkom's launching this officially on Monday. They've promised a huge advertisement. These telcos, for some reason, love advertising these things in the Sunday newspapers. So they're gonna spend millions on advertising in the Sunday newspapers. But whether that's enough time for a Vodacom or a Cell C or a MTN to respond with an advertising campaign of their own to try and take some of the wind out of Telkom sales here, probably not. I don't know. We'll have to see. I'll be reading the Sunday papers with a great deal of interest to see exactly what is getting advertised. But they're going to have to respond. They've got no choice. This is going to take market share from the other players. I was saying in an interview with the radio station a bit earlier today that I would be very surprised if Telkom hasn't doubled its market share from 2.5% to 5% by this time next year.
Well,
on the back of these plans, at least.
Look forward to seeing that play out for sure.
But very interesting, very aggressive plans. And Hilton Tarrant writing a piece on Moneyweb, which we ran on Tech Central as well today, saying that the only disappointing thing is the soft cap on the unlimited option is 25 gigabytes, after which you're throttled down to 128 kilobits per second, which seems a bit stingy given that the 20 gigabyte option is 400 rand less, so you're paying 400 rand more in effect for that 5 extra gigabytes of data. Although, obviously, you get more voice calls, 1,500 more off-net voice calls as well. So there is that. But, you know, who the heck makes more than 1,500 voice minutes a month? I mean,
exactly. Well, they should have just not called it Unlimited Plan 2. They should have just called it something else, I think. It is a bit deceiving. But it's still a very good value package.
It is, yeah. But they should have made it 50 gig. 50 gig soft cap would have been perfect.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for mobile, definitely. Yeah.
But I was chatting to Attila Vatai, who is the executive at Telkom, who's basically been responsible for these packages. He's the head of consumer and small business at Telkom, and he said that there's no restriction on these packages. You can tether.
Nice.
We've seen quite aggressive data tariffs coming in America, for example, from companies like Verizon and AT&T. But then they put in very strict terms that you may not tether your phone with a computer. But Telkom says, no problem. If you want to tether this, tether it.
Nice. Yeah, I would also encourage that.
Yeah. Apparently, they're putting quite a lot of restriction on peer-to-peer traffic, which I guess isn't surprising.
Yeah. But at least my fiber won't be will still be valuable for something.
All right. But it should be fine for, if you wanted to stream video like YouTube and that sort of thing, which is fine. I mean, on that 20 gig plan, which I have to tell you, after being 22 years with my mobile operator, I'm tempted to port because of this 20 gig plan. If I had it, if I had that Telkom SIM on my phone, I wouldn't think twice about streaming YouTube on the go.
Yeah. Look, my only concern would be, I mean, obviously if you're streaming at LTE speed, you're going to be streaming high definition content,
sure,
which might suck through. And I think that's why the thinking was behind the hard cap.
But when you're on the go, you're not going to sit and watch a whole movie. You'll just
watch bits, yeah.
Watch bits and pieces. I suppose maybe if you've got an iPad, you would. But I'd wanted more to, you know, shoot a bit of video and dump it on Facebook or not worry about... I've taken 50 pictures and I'm not worried about uploading them in full high definition onto Google Photos, for example. At the moment, I wait till I get home and to my Wi-Fi before it automatically updates my uploads my photos to Google. I mean, I wouldn't mind doing that on the go. I want to post pictures on Facebook, but I'm cautious when I'm out and about because, you know, I have so little data on my current network that I don't want to use that bandwidth. So I wait until I get home and I'm in a Wi-Fi zone to do it.
Yeah.
This will change users' behavior. I think it's groundbreaking, and I think the other operators are going to have to respond. And Cell C, which has always positioned itself as the consumer champion, if it wants to continue to be seen as the consumer champion, is going to have to respond to this.
Mm. Well, did they talk? Did they say anything to doing data only packages based on this for people that have a LTE router at home that they want to use for home-based network?
Well, they've already got those sort of packages, you know. I mean, I use one already, a high-end LTE 200 gig a month package. So they've got those already. These are meant as smartphone contracts.
The one that you're talking about, it's still a different price point. It's not really aligned to this, I would imagine.
Well, if you look at the pricing of this, I mean, the package I'm on is 200 gig daytime, 200 gig nighttime, 400 gigs a month for $15.99. It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. But, I mean, that serves a specific purpose. You're not going to be making calls on that.
And I'm only using it because the fixed lines in my neighborhood no longer work properly.
So you don't have fiber in your neighborhood.
It's coming, though.
What'd you say?
It's coming. Telkom is deploying fiber around here in the next couple of months, I believe. So I'm going to switch to that. But the LTE was a great stopgap, actually, after the DSL network fell over.
Yeah, who still uses DSL? But, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Now that everybody's got fiber, it's not a cool thing anymore. I mean, it's just become a way of life. It's
almost, not everyone has fiber.
Oh, sorry.
Just because you've got it. The vast majority are still waiting.
Fair enough.
But it is coming quickly. It is coming quickly. Everywhere I drive in Joburg now to meetings, I just see these coloured pipes.
Everybody's trenching, yeah.
Everyone's trenching.
Amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Incredible.
I mean, I was driving from... I'm in Randburg, and I was driving to a meeting in... where was it? It was in Ilovo. And I drove past three separate FTTH installations on my way to that meeting.
Nice.
So there's a lot of investment going in the
ground. And it all started with one little suburb, eh? I mean, I still think about this. Yeah. Shows you the power of a good movement, I think.
Indeed. Anyway, so the last thing I wanted to mention on this, actually, was, you know... When I saw these prices and these tariffs and the data allocations on these freemium packages originally, I thought this has to be Telkom's network only, not on the roaming data.
Oh, yeah.
So that was my first question. Is this on MTN roaming as well? And it is.
Oh, fantastic.
So Telkom roams on MTN's 2G and 3G network, not its 4G network. So if you go out of the cities where Telkom doesn't have coverage, and Telkom's coverage is mainly concentrated on the urban areas, you're going to have to fall back to a MTN 3G connection where it's available. If not, then 2G, but you won't get the MTN 4G. But I don't think that's a huge problem. MTN's 3G coverage is pretty extensive.
It's pretty vast, yeah.
So if you go, that would have been my concern with this. If you go on holiday, say to the middle of rural Limpopo or something, my concern would be you wouldn't have a connection at all, a data connection at all, but you will.
And you'll still be using your own data as opposed to,
And it's your own, it's part of the bundle.
Although it's only on 3G, is that what you're saying?
It's only on 3G.
Yeah.
Which is fine. If you're on holiday or, you know, driving somewhere remote, you don't need a 4G connection.
No.
2G is unpleasant, but 3G is fine.
Yeah, speaking of that, just a little side note, I was in the Hoedspruit area last week, and for the first time in years, I saw the words HSDPA on my phone screen.
Which network, MTN?
On MTN, because it was out of any kind of range of any decent signal or data, obviously.
Yeah.
But just using that speed That kind of speed in your phone makes you realize how important the data throughput is we have today with a smartphone.
Yeah. There's
virtually nothing worked. Even my streaming service battled to authenticate me just to play my music that I've got stored on my machine, on my phone.
Yeah.
We've come a long way, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so it raises an interesting question about Telkom and how it's changed. This company would never have done this 5 years ago, even 2 years ago. Mm. And it's all of this has changed since Sipho Maseko took over as CEO in 2013, so 3 years ago now. There's been a huge cultural shift at Telkom, a big change in the way the company approaches the market. And I think it's just evidenced in this. But I think it's been a long time coming. You know, they've been through a lot of pain in the last couple of years. They've retrenched thousands and thousands of workers. And it hasn't been difficult turning that organization around. I think Sipho's actually been a bit of a miracle worker there in that he's actually... I mean, just attending this launch dinner that they held last night, it was a different Telkom. This was a Telkom that was enthused about what it was doing. This was a Telkom that was... And of course, it's marketing. It's all part of the marketing hype, but... You get the real tangible feeling that this company is not the same company it once was. It's not the inefficient, bureaucratic, government parastatal that has a monopoly and can charge what it wants.
Mm.
This is a company now that's now realized that it's operating in a competitive market. It has to play nicely with its competition. It has to develop products that its consumers want to buy. And it has to change the way it works culturally. And I think... So much of that has changed. I think it probably just helps the fact that they've moved out of downtown Pretoria, out of that concrete edifice that they used to be based in, which was just the most unwelcoming building I've ever been into. It really was like a government department, into this modern campus that they've built in Centurion, where they've put in electric car charging stations, and
nice.
You know, the whole place is running on solar power. It really is a changed organization, and I've watched so many companies try to do this in my career as a journalist and reporting on everything from, you know, IBM to Microsoft and all the local companies as well. It's incredibly difficult to change the culture of a big lumbering organization, and somehow Sipho Maseko is doing it. He hasn't finished the job yet. There's still all sorts of problems at Telkom. I mean, the customer service, you know, still needs massive work. But they're getting there. They're heading in the right direction, which they certainly were not doing 5 years ago. So kudos to him, and kudos to Telkom. They're shaking up the market, and it's I think they're going to have a big impact on the competition, and ultimately that's great news for consumers.
Now, as long as they keep innovating and kind of driving this shouldn't be a one-hit wonder. You know, we definitely need to see more from them in the future. Yeah.
And they're promising that there's going to be something of an equal scale being announced before the end of the year on the fixed line side of things. Something similar to this in fixed lines.
What, maybe that you don't need your telephone line to get ADSL?
Quite possibly. They've been making noises about that. But, I mean, on your fixed line, imagine, you know... Why do you need the legacy voice? Just offer a VoIP service. Telkom VoIP. They're making the right noises. I mean, Vodacom and MTN would never embrace free WhatsApp calling. They see it as a big threat to them, but Telkom has embraced it. They kind of see it as the future. Maybe they're forced to do it, but...
The consumer wins, and I think that's an important thing. We've been ripped off for too long, and now that we actually, you know, get some benefit from these service and packages... Yeah.
But Cell C, the ball's in your court now. If you still want to be seen as the consumer champion, you're going to have to respond. Anyway, let's move along. Very interesting development. I think it was last Friday. Completely out of the blue, ICASA, the lumbering communications regulator that doesn't actually seem to do very much, suddenly published an invitation to apply for high-demand spectrum in the 700, 800 megahertz and 2.6 gigahertz bands. Now, it published this without apparently consulting the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services, which is very much overdue, developing a white paper on integrated ICT policy in South Africa. Now, the unwritten or perhaps even spoken agreement was that ICASA would not go ahead with issuing any invitation to apply until the white paper had been published by had been approved by Cabinet and then published by the Telecommunications Minister. So my understanding is that legally Telkom, ICASA could simply go ahead if it wanted to. It would just be very politically very difficult for it to do so because of the fact that the minister has not completed the policy. But they've gone ahead and done it anyway. Completely out of the blue, published a very detailed document, clearly written by an external consultant, on exactly how they intend to auction off the spectrum in these bands. And it's a mystery as to why they've done it now, especially in light of the fact that there's no progress, no tangible progress in the digital migration project. So the broadcasters are still sitting on 700 and 800 megahertz. So why auction it off right now? This 2.6 gig band is ready to go, but it just raises interesting questions. What happened here? Did the operators put the pressure on ICASA to do this? ICASA, which in the past has never had the cojones to do anything that might upset its political masters, has now done something that's upset its political masters. Fair enough, ICASA technically no longer reports to the Telecommunications Ministry. It now reports to Faith Mutambi at the Department of Communications. But from my speaking to sources, I understand that Faith Mutambi also didn't know about this, which raises the question, where did they get the political support from? Because they almost certainly got political support to do this. Now, my educated guess is that it came from National Treasury. National Treasury would obviously be very interested in having a spectrum auction because it would raise billions and billions of rand for the national fiscus at a time when the national revenue is under enormous pressure in an economy that's effectively in a recession. ICASA has placed a 3 billion rand reserve price on each of the four lots of spectrum that is going to be made available. So if they're all sold, that you're looking at a minimum revenue raising exercise by the state of 12 billion rand, which is a very nice amount of money to raise in an economy that's under pressure. So they must have got support from perhaps the finance minister, perhaps not the finance minister, maybe elements within Treasury. Because I can't see them having done this of their own volition. I think it's a positive move. The spectrum needs to be opened up, but there's so many other ifs and whats. What ifs and buts associated with this? I mean, the fact that the digital migration project has stalled again while it goes to the Constitutional Court makes you wonder why now. I mean, the other thing is the election is 3 weeks away, the municipal election. Did someone lean on ICASA to put out this document now ahead of the election? Is this electioneering to try and garner votes for the ANC? Does your ordinary voter actually care about a spectrum auction enough to change his vote? Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
It's very curious. It's very curious. The story here, the full story here, will come out over time. But it's an interesting one. I've my doubt that this spectrum auction is going to go ahead in January 2017, as they say. I suspect this invitation to apply. I think there's a very good chance this invitation to apply will be withdrawn, perhaps quite soon after the election.
But by that time, they will have a good indication of who wants what, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so, because they're going to have to, the operators have to submit their invitations to apply. So then they'll, maybe it's an information gathering exercise ahead of withdrawing the invitation to apply and then reissuing it based on the feedback they get from the operators.
Or out to raise the prices. I mean, like an elaborate phishing scam.
Anyway, based on ICASA's history, I don't hold out much hope for them doing this job properly, unfortunately. It's a complex issue. They clearly have a they're going to allow an external auctioneer and consultants to run the process, but I still worry that, you know, they've put out this document without perhaps getting the necessary political buy-in, and without that necessary political buy-in, I am worried that this process won't go ahead, and that we'll end up in a situation that could get messy.
The other thing to look at, of course, and we'll get more detail as time goes on, is as the operators and analysts analyze exactly what these spectrum lots look like. But you know, there's talk already that perhaps only one or two of these spectrum lots is actually worth anything. And the concern is that there's a bidding war over one of the lots between, say, Vodacom and MTN, and it raises it to some ridiculous level, and then we will end up having to pay for it because the operators had to pay so much for the spectrum, so that could raise the prices. But it's an interesting one, but it's bizarre. The full story will out itself in the coming months, no doubt, and I would not be surprised to see some backtracking on this pretty soon after the election, which is now, 12 days away.
Sure. Yeah, that's close.
Anyway, Pokemon Go. Let's talk about something a little more lighthearted.
There hasn't been a topic that I've loathed and enjoyed as much as Pokemon Go.
Now, I have to admit, I haven't been playing it, but Rafat, you've been running around the streets with your phone, have you?
No, I wouldn't say literally. I've been driving around.
Driving around. Quite dangerous, isn't it?
It's quite dangerous. I was when it launched. When was it? Last week.
Last week.
Yeah, a lot of chat. I mean, you couldn't ignore it, and kind of that. Prompted me to install it and just seeing what it's about. And immediately I kind of got flavors back from the day of Ingress, which is the game it was actually based on.
Yeah.
But I approached it, the reason why I approached it and why I find it so fascinating is what one can do with an augmented reality overlaid on a game that kind of plots the real world as your game deck.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of fun. For me, I didn't grow up in the Pokemon era, so the affinity to, or the love for the brand, isn't as strong as what it is potentially for the gameplay. But there's some really interesting things that they were able to do with this.
Yes.
Now, obviously, you're playing with a lot of people. There are certain points on a map, on the real world map, that you can collect either Pokemon, or you can go to a battle gym, or there's a Pokestop where you can collect more stuff. I don't even know what half these things are. But I've had quite a lot of fun for the last few days. I find that my gameplay has slowed down quite a lot. So essentially what you need to do is you load the game, walk around. You have to walk around. You can't be sitting stationary and expecting things to come to you. The things you need to collect, the Pokemon, is in the real world. So as you walk around parks, for example, there would be quite a lot of Pokemon because the game data would know that there is a park in this location and bodies of water. So it would obviously be able to put the loot around those kind of things.
Yeah.
But because there's been so many people playing for quite a while and ranking up quite impressively, it is quite difficult to kind of enter the battle gyms and kind of really enjoy the game like that.
What is that battle
gym? So a battle gym is where you go and you fight other people for their Pokemon.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm only on level 6 now. You need to get to level 5 for any real interesting things to happen in the game. I guess it's just the more you play, the better you get, the more your score ranks up, and the better your Pokemon can battle with other Pokemon and other battle masters.
Okay.
It was really interesting, a little fun. What was probably the funniest thing for me was seeing a lot of other people standing on arb corners with their phones out. And because I could see what they were looking at, or I could actually see what they were looking at on the map, you know immediately that they are playing Pokemon Go. It's a fun game. Probably most people listening to this podcast would probably not run out and kind of install this immediately. If you do, you'll certainly enjoy it. I think it's got some... probably not as longevity as one would think, unless you're in this demographic. I would love to see a Mario Brothers version of this. Then you might have my attention.
So, do you think the hype is going to last, or do you think this is just going to?
I think it'll last. I mean, for certain demographics. So, somebody like me, a gamer like me, I don't think will be playing this. I'll play it for a bit, see what's it about. Kind of get into it as a.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of analyze these things. We like to be early adopters and kind of really see what's about. But for me, the most fascinating thing is how you have a game that's actually based in real-world environments using augmented reality overlaid on that. And that, it's fascinating, and they did it really well. And they promised a lot of things coming up in the next few months in terms of features and functionality. So maybe not now, but in a few months, this game could actually look and operate like a real game, like you would expect. It still seems a little rough around the edges from time to time. It does crash once in a while.
Yeah.
But there's, I do find myself also getting to a place and wanting to open it just to see if there's anything around me. So it's got a very interesting hook, and definitely worth checking out if you kind of are into seeing how games are going to be progressing. I mean, we're definitely living in an era now where a game isn't just a static thing on a computer screen. There's more to a game than just the data you see in front of you. And the steps into that real-world element. Funny enough, most of the poker gyms are churches.
Oh, really?
I don't know what the churches have to say about that. But yeah, it is fun. It's interesting. It's certainly worth experimenting.
What's interesting for me is that this may signal that, I don't know if it does, but Microsoft has taken a bet that augmented reality is going to be the next big thing, not virtual reality.
No.
And the Microsoft HoloLens has always appealed to me more, I must say,
yes,
than the Oculus Rift, for example.
Mm.
I mean, what's your take on that? Do you think that Microsoft's onto the winning bet with AR as opposed to going for a VR route like the other guys are going for?
Yes, if I were to bet on something, I would certainly say augmented reality over VR. But VR still has its place, and there will be applications where you want a fully immersive experience in a green room with nothing around you to give you all of these things.
Mm.
Augmented reality is great for any other environment where you're actually interacting with the environment.
Yes.
So sitting at home, sitting in your office, even being out and about, you know, having that augmented reality layer over the things you see, I think that's where the real power lies. Okay. And if you've seen the HoloLens demos, I mean, even from last 2 years ago, it's phenomenal how the what you can build digitally on a real world environment.
Yes.
You know, as you're playing Minecraft, for example, having your guys know where the table is and climbing up the table, climbing up a chair, and using it as your battleground.
Yeah,
it's fascinating stuff.
Cool. Cool. Well, that takes care of the news this week. Let's get on to our winners and losers. Our winner is actually very easy. We're going to pick Telkom.
Yeah.
No brainer. We won't even say why. I mean, it's obvious through all the what we've been talking about in this podcast. But our loser this week, and we haven't touched on him or his organization this week, but I think it's possibly the fifth or sixth time we're picking him as our loser. But he's a very worthy candidate this week for the mess at the SABC, the sacking of 8 journalists for daring to question his policies. By all accounts, the SABC is running out of cash fast. I saw one newspaper headline this week calling him a dictator. Klaudi Motsaneng, Chief Operating Officer of SABC, the sooner he is fired, the better. He's our loser this week. Hopefully he's fired before he destroys the company.
Yeah, please.
Or we have to bail out the SABC, which is more likely. What's your pick this week, Richard?
Okay, so I kind of spoke of it in length, and the reason why I picked it is I think no game or no app has really ever garnered so much attention worldwide as what Pokemon Go has. So that's my pick of the week, Pokemon Go. It'll certainly be a limited lifespan on my device. I think I'll get bored of it quite quickly.
Okay.
But I can certainly see the appeal in the game mechanics. So that's why it's my pick of the week. Well done, guys. And if you're kind of into that kind of thing, it's also well worth checking out another game, or actually the game that Pokemon Go was based on.
Yeah.
A game called Ingress.
Yeah.
Also by a Niantic company. And it's still available for download. I don't know how active that community is, but or if they still share data, but that would be interesting if they do.
I remember when Ingress first came out, Philip DeVette, who works at the Mail and Guardian, was absolutely smitten with it. He was running around everywhere playing Ingress. There was a small community in South Africa of Ingress players, and they were hardcore. But it died. It died after a month, I think. And I suspect Pokemon Go is going to go the same way quite quickly.
Yeah, it's because you have to get up and go and do stuff. Yeah. I mean, I love that about it. But I don't think in South Africa it's practical, because I can't really get out of my office and walk around.
Yeah.
It's not
in London or New York or something like that, it's much easier. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at some of the YouTube videos about the Pokemon craze happening in these major cities, New York especially, I mean, people standing in parks, walking in places that people they never used to congregate in those numbers.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, cool. Anyway, that's almost our podcast this week.
What is your pick? What is your?
Oh, I almost forgot. Thanks for the reminder. I've picked an app called Teta. It's a locally developed instant messaging application. I'm going to have more details up on Tech Central on Sunday, so look out for the story. But it's been developed by two local black entrepreneurs
a guy called Lisa Pendler and his partner Temba Moyo. And it's an instant messaging app based on XMPP. It's not cross-application, even though XMPP is an open protocol. But its selling point is that, provided you for now have a Vodacom SIM in your phone, it's zero rated. So if you have no airtime at all, you can still send messages to other users.
Nice.
On any network, but if you want it to be zero rated and you have no airtime, you have to have a Vodacom SIM in your phone. They're using the same platform that Vodacom developed, that apps is now using to offer zero rated access to its banking services. And the idea is that they'll make up the cost of it. They have to obviously pay Vodacom for access to that system through advertising to you in the app. But it's a full-blown instant messaging app. You can send pictures, you can attach video files, you can attach audio files, and I've been playing around with it, and it's quite well developed. It's not quite at the level of a WhatsApp, for example, at this stage, but I think that they're potentially onto something huge here, because you know there are millions of people in South Africa for whom just using WhatsApp is an expensive proposition.
Mm.
Now, if you can send text messages to people for free, and you have no airtime. I think it's going to enjoy big take up at the bottom end of the market.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So it's a very interesting app. It's only available for Android at the moment, but it's coming to iOS early next year. It's called Teta, T-E-T-A, and you can download it right now in the Play Store and start using it.
Nice.
So go check it out. It's my pick this week. It's nice to pick a local, locally developed app for a change. And I think if the guys get it right, they're potentially onto something quite big here, and not only in South Africa, but in emerging markets worldwide.
Nice.
So Teta, check it out in the Play Store. Cool. Well, last thing we need to do this week is to come back to our quiz. We had a couple of trick questions this week. Not trick, maybe a bit difficult. But let's go through. I'll pick up the first one, Rechot, and then you can pick up from there. The first question we asked is, what is the soft data cap on Telkom's new unlimited 999 rand a month freemium mobile package? And of course, as we discussed during the show, it is 25 gigabytes. After which you're throttled to 128 kilobits a second.
The second question, Telkom's freemium has zero rated calls and messages in which three smartphone apps? And the answer, Viber, BBM, and WhatsApp.
And I spoke to Attila Vatai this week about Skype and other platforms. And he said Skype and FaceTime are coming in a matter of months, but it's in the second part of the rollout. So
FaceTime would be a big one.
Skype too.
Yeah.
So Viber, BBM, WhatsApp, but Skype and FaceTime are coming as well. Apparently, there's some difficulty in doing the zero-rated integration into the back end, which is why it's not why those two apps are not being added at launch. But pretty exciting stuff. The third question we asked, and this was probably quite a difficult one. Elon Musk's Tesla is planning to add a pickup truck, a freight truck, and what else to its electric vehicle lineup? And I must say, I was not expecting any of this. But he's planning to build an electric bus.
Makes so much sense if you think about it. People carrier doesn't use any energy. Doesn't use any fuel.
Buses. I mean, buses. The buses you see driving around Joburg, I mean, they're gas guzzlers, diesel guzzlers. The amount of fuel those things consume is quite frightening.
The fourth question. Apps now allows you to bank through which instant messaging application? And from what I believe, that's also world first.
Yeah, they claim it's a world first.
And the answer is Facebook Messenger. I had a look at that, and it's not, I'm not on my apps at client, but it's something that I would see using if my bank certainly takes it on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also the power of bots. It's first introduction of a bot-like system.
Yeah.
Cool.
And our final question this week, Britain's Arm Holdings, this was a hell of a story actually, is being acquired by which company for $32 billion? Of course, Arm Holdings designs all the reference architectures for the processors that are used on our phones. And they're being acquired by a Japanese group called SoftBank. Cool, that's the show. As always, if you've got any feedback, we'd love to hear from you. The email is info@techcentral.co.za, or leave a comment under the post. Until next time, from Rechard and myself, stay warm. Cheers. Yeah,
cheers.